This is an ABC Radio National podcast. For full details, abc.net.au/rn.
You're on ABC Radio National. Come and join me today on The Science Show as I try to feed a rhino, try to find out if Americans know where food comes from, and indeed where big land animals came from. Hello, I'm Robin Williams. Tim Jones is an anthropologist from the University of Arizona, and he was on The Science Show 2 years ago, having found that households alone, in America alone, throw away $48.3 billion worth of food each year. Now he's done a follow-up.
Well, since then, we've been trying to implement programs because what we were looking at was at least $100 billion throughout the American food system, and beginning to try to develop some kind of programs that would actually help in loss, food loss reduction, because it would actually be fairly easy to do. I've attempted to make contact with government agencies and corporations and so on that are involved. Because one important part of the study was not only could we tell people this was happening, but we could tell them exactly why it happened and exactly how to stop it. And that was what was great about the study, because I hate to do studies where we go in and we just warn people, oh, you can't do this, you know, this is what's awful, aren't you? Well, they're not awful. They don't understand it's happening. But it was fascinating finding out why they don't understand what's happening and why it's being so difficult to get them to proceed in a direction to reduce their losses.
Why they don't understand that they're actually throwing away food, and this is food going into the garbage. They don't understand that very thing that's happening in the kitchen.
No, they don't understand that. They don't understand what's happening in their own farms. They don't understand what's happening in their own retail food businesses. They don't understand what's happening in the restaurants. They don't understand how any of that's going. And you could do this at all levels. Whether you're talking about a household, there's a massive disconnect. We've lost a concept of what food is and how it functions. People don't even realize that food comes from living things. And if you don't know if the food comes from living things, you don't know anything about the life cycle. If you don't know anything about the life cycle, how can you understand nutrition? How can you understand positive, even economic effects? It's like reducing your food loss or even composting the food that you do waste.
Yes. So where do young people or ordinary people, as adults for that matter, think meat and milk and fruit come from?
They don't know. When you ask them, they tell you they literally don't know. What it's become so commodified now that they don't realize it's from a living thing. When you even start talking about the fact, let's say, about meat, that you take an animal and you kill it, and then you cut it up, and then you make this, they get nauseated. They can't eat. If you're eating, they stop eating. They'll get up and walk away. It's too terrifying for them. Those are the kinds of reactions you're getting from much of the population. There is still a core part of the population in America who understands all this. I mean, this is why we still have environmental groups and things like that. I can't tell the percentages, but it's probably in the 30 to 40% range. But the rest of the population doesn't get any of this. The long-term conditioning of food as a commodity has gotten to the point that that's where our obesity, that's the core of the obesity issue that we have in this country, which they estimate costs us at least $100 billion a year. It's the core of the food loss problem, which costs us another $100 billion a year. And it's just not within the general public, it's within everybody.
And so your studies have been to find that out or to apply an answer to the problem?
Our studies were to find out what was causing the problem, and then we proceeded on to look at what are the reasons, how can we reduce this, and what can we do. I've contacted the federal government. We've talked to the Food and Drug Administration. They say it's outside their purview, even though it's a major security issue, too. If America's so much into security, food is something you don't want to have disappear, because if a food disappears, that's a major problem. Right now, so much of our food is grown in just a few locations in the country that it would be easy to take on our food and stop it.
In fact, I think the proportion is in some countries like Australia and America, less than 2% of the population is actually involved in growing the food at all.
Yeah, it's the same in the United States. It's a little less than 2%. And not only that, but it's only in a few locations. 60% of all of our fresh vegetables in this country come from a valley that's on the south side of San Francisco called Salinas Valley. In that valley, if let's say somebody were to do something like blow up a dirty bomb in South San Francisco, because Silicon Valley is right next to this valley. All you'd have to do is do a dirty bomb in Silicon Valley. You take out 60% of the vegetables, and you take out Silicon Valley and the whole electronics industry of the United States. And it would take us at least 4 to 5 months to shift that agriculture to other areas, like in southern Texas and New Mexico. We could do it, and we could be back in production in about 6 to 8 months. But what do you do in 6 to 8 months while you don't have food? Well, I've been proposing over and over again that, first of all, we need to put together a food loss reduction program. And I proposed this to the National Security Agency, to Homeland Security, the Food and Drug Administration, to Congress, including the House and the Senate. And I proposed it to our own state legislature here, and I've actually gone and talked to them. And I said, what we need to do is we need to set up an immediate program that we can put into place that would reduce the food losses, because easily, rapidly, we could cut the amount of loss in half. That would give us 25% more food, and that could get us over a big hump while we shift our programs around and shift our farms around. I have literally had a response that it's outside of our purview. You know, it's not something we're going to deal with. Other agencies have said, well, it's not within the law, because the problem with the law about the Patriot Act and the Homeland Security issues is they only think in terms of immediate issues. What do you do in the first week? They don't think what happens 3 weeks later.
Sounds like Iraq, doesn't it? You invade Iraq and then something happens. You don't quite know what.
Well, I don't get into that. I try to actually stay out of it from a political situation, you know, and I don't want to appear liberal. Because one thing I don't want to do, and I've made it very clear, is that business and government weren't aware of what was happening. They did not know this waste was there because it wasn't in their realities to be able to see it. They're oriented toward the concepts of profit and production. They're not thinking about in terms of efficiencies of production. It's not part of their training. It's not part of their reality. But we need to make that part of the reality, because even for them, that's a bottom line issue. I could take some of the biggest food companies in this country and I could boost their stock prices by 20%. By putting together a food loss reduction program, because it would increase the profitability so much that their stock prices would go up by 20-25%.
And how would you reduce food loss?
Well, in a lot of these companies, it's simply looking at it as an issue. When you look at management and training, it's never mentioned. You know, efficiencies are mentioned, but they never think of it in terms of food loss and how they would reduce it, how they would train people how to manage things differently. Also, in terms of ordering and transportation and shipping, we need much better programs, especially computer programs that currently exist, because they have a very big difficult time predicting demand. Another thing they did is they misshot when they rebuilt it's what we call a misfire. When they went to just-in-time delivery systems, they didn't put enough cold and frozen storage in the new stores to be able to meet different kinds of levels and fluctuations in demand. They need to increase that. They could do it simply by adding a freezer right now until eventually they build new stores and they can add more space. There's all kinds of temporary techniques they could use that would so dramatically reduce food loss, it would increase their bottom line by 5 or 10%.
Now, what about the population? Would a similar educational program be appropriate?
Well, to be honest with you, the bang for our buck and efficiency itself, I don't think a big educational program to Americans is going to work unless we can reorient our current educational programs to begin to look at things this way. Right now, they do food education and stuff with the public, but they don't reach the right public, and they don't reach them with the right message. Because food loss reduction is a really important thing. And instead, they get tied up in issues of, oh, well, that's because we've trained people, you know, to be afraid of food, you know, so that they won't get poisoned. Well, you can overtrain people in one direction. You need to back up and begin to train them. How do you recognize when food goes bad? Not that, oh, just be scared of food and don't eat it, or don't save it, or don't put it in a freezer. If you put something in a freezer, it's going to last forever. Yeah, well, not forever. And you need to teach people that. These are real simple concepts that aren't getting across to the public. What we really need is a long-term educational program, because where you see the problem is there is no value of the life cycle instilled in people. When do you instill values in people? You instill it between the kindergarten and about third grade, which is, you know, between about 5 and 8 years old. So what we need to do is turn around and put in their little science program for the children where they actually grow food. They pick it, They cook it, and they eat it. They learn by tactile experience and by doing things. And then, of course, I would suggest that we also take them down to the slaughterhouse so they can see where all that meat comes from. It comes from these big brown living cows. They'll get the message. A simple program like that, which could be put into most current science programs, would take care of the problem the next 20 years. As soon as they become 20-year-olds, they'll start. I bet you'd see food loss reduction, obesity reduction, all kinds of things. Also, those kids will eventually become the CEOs of food companies. They'll become farmers. They'll take the message with them. It's the long-term solution. Now, I've contacted the national education people.
And they said, yes, we'll do it tomorrow.
They said, oh, it's not our policy to dictate what the content of classes are. And that's done on a state level. Which isn't exactly true, because they already dictate a lot of the policies that the states have to do in terms of their class content. So I've been working with the state of Arizona. The state of Arizona is actually very interested. It's just that changing their realities is such a dramatic shift for them. But they did get the message about morals. It goes along with some of the Christian and religious movement that's gone on in this country. They can't really say that instilling the moral of appreciation of life and the life cycle, how can they turn that down, you know?
How indeed. Dr. Timothy Jones, anthropologist from the University of Arizona, and he returns next week to talk about waste as a fuel source, just what we need as petrol goes sky high.
Find out how to get more out of Radio National. Go to abc.net.au/rn. And for the full list of MP3 and podcast programs, abc.net.au/rn/podcast.